And I did just popped up in my spirit, you know, this morning about vision. And I just heard the Lord speak to me. He said, sometimes, he said, you've had to reset your vision. You know, in other words, you know, you can be believing God for things and then life sets in and things get in the way, all of that stuff, and you can kind of get sidetracked off your vision. Whether it's a vision the Lord gave you, I was thinking about this morning ministry-wise, probably in the mid-90s, you know, the Lord, I just had it quickened. I don't know if it was through scripture, preaching. Anyhow, I had it quickened to me to go into all the world. And I told Teresa, I said, I'm going to go into all the world and preach the gospel. I said, I'm going. And then I started thinking, how am I going to do it? And then I started thinking about jets. And I mean, I went for years. I'm going to have a jet, you know, and all of that stuff. And I went year after year after year, knowing that God was going to send me all over the world. You know, I wouldn't turn loose. Now, it looked like there's no way I could buy a jet. No way. I barely could keep gas in my Toyota at that time. You know, but see, where you're at and what has nothing to do really whether the vision that God's give you will come to pass or not. It's not based on your circumstances. It's not based on your ability. It's based on what God says to you. And whatever God says, He will bring it to pass if you will. You know, if you will hold on, if you will not stop believing. Well, year after year after year went by, you know, and I thought, I'm going to go into all the world. I'm going to go into all the world and preach the gospel. I'd say that, and I'd get on people's nerves with it because, see, I wasn't going to let the vision go. I had learned, you know, that Habakkuk 2 over there says, write the vision, make it plain that those that read it can run with it. He said, and though it tarry, wait on it, because it will surely come to pass. And that was quickened in my spirit back under in the mid-90s. You know, whatever God speaks to me, whether it is about my finances, about my marriage, about the church, about ministry. And that was even before I knew that I was going to be a pastor. But anyways, all of those years went by, you know, and I wouldn't let it go. I just wouldn't let it go. Well, in 2008, you know, the Lord spoke to me to start the internet. There wasn't no internet ministry like we know it back in the mid-90s. You know, and but things progressed, and how many knows, God knew it. See, God knew it, and then all of a sudden, you know, I'd never thought about that. Once I started that ministry and started putting the sermons on the World Wide Web, and then I started seeing them. I sat there, you know, and I told the guy that built it, God supernaturally done it. He sent a guy here and built it free for us and all of that. God sent him here. You know, God was bringing to pass the vision that He wanted, that He gave me in the mid-90s, you know, early 90s probably. But anyways, all of that time went by, you know, and I believed it all of them years, you know. I'm going on a jet plane. I've got to. That's the only way I can figure out how to go into all the world, you know. And so, but anyways, I just left that up to God. When it comes time, God, you'll do what you need to do to get what you need done. Well, anyways, I told that guy, I said, I want you to simplify. He was being frustrated with it. And so I'm fasting and I'm praying and I'm asking God about it, the internet ministry. I didn't even want to do it. I'd seen lives messed up with those chat rooms and meeting people and some things happened in my family and different things. So I was against having any kind of computer in this church, you know, on account of my experience, you know, of that. But I begin to realize, you know, what's if Satan can use something, God can use it greater. You know, well, anyways, he called me up and he's all frustrated. And the Lord spoke to him and the Lord said, tell him to simplify it. You know, I didn't even know what that meant, you know, because he's encrypting everything and he's one of these, you know. But anyways, I told him, I said, listen, I said, make it simple. Just simplify it. And when I said that, I felt a release in the spirit realm, and it set him free. Well, anyhow, and then I told him, I said, I want you to build it where we can run it, where I can run it, you know. And so he built that thing where we could run it because it was going to cost $14,000 to build it at that time. I'd done got a price on building it. And then it was going to cost so much a month, and we would have to give them the information that we wanted on it, and they would have to put it on it, and it was going to cost us so much a month of ministry for somebody to do it. You know, and the way he did it, I told him, I said, I want it where we can run it. He had never did that, but he did it. But anyhow, I'm in there, and I'd learned how to do it and everything, and I'm in there, and then I pulled up where we were going. Where it shows you in there where they link into from, whether it's Germany or, and I'm like, that's Italy, that's France. And then it goes in there and tells you how long they listen, what sermon they listen to, and how long they listen to it, you know, and all of that. And I thought, man, there's Italy and Germany. And I'm sitting there and I'm like, I'm in the vision. I'm sitting in the vision. I'm sitting here. I'm all over the world. You just sent me all over the world, God. I didn't even have to have a plane. You know, well, that was my thoughts on how to get it done. And that's okay. God's okay with it as long as you don't go run with it. You know, just don't take off on them tangents and, you know, praise the Lord. Because I mean, I'm thinking, where am I going to put it? Abbotville or Birmingham? I got to have a hangar. And I'd ride by and I'd say, wonder which one of them is my hangar, Lord. Well, you know, what I'm saying is I wasn't going to turn loose of that vision. It seemed impossible to me. But see, I wouldn't let go of the vision. That's my point. See, and all through the Bible, we've been talking about God's favor. You know, we've been talking about the favor of God, and I saw the favor of God on my life dealing with my mama in her last days, or years, with family members and stuff, believing God. But the main thing was staying in the right spirit, you know, and God's favor would come on it, and God would, you know, and God would just move in the favor in favor of I was wanting the best for my mom. And sometimes the best for my mom wasn't what some others wanted, you know, but I would believe God and God's favor. Well, God's favor, we read it. I want to read it to you. When God's favor's on something in our life, God's favor was on that vision. God gave me that vision. God gave me vision about having a good marriage. But anyways, God's favor is God's approval, God's support. Man, when you got God backing you. If God be for you, who? Right? Come on, somebody. If God be for you, who? That's what it says. That God's favor, and we're highly favored of God. We read the scriptures for three sermons, you know, that we're crowned and surrounded by God's favor. You know, Monty brought up Psalms 1 yesterday, you know, and it wouldn't leave me and everything. And it says blessed, and one of the definitions of that blessed mean blessed is the man that sitteth not in the counsel of ungodly and all that, but his delight's in the word of the Lord. That word blessed, one of the meanings of that is highly favored of God. We're highly favored of God because we don't sit in the counsel of the ungodly. We take counsel from the Lord and from the Holy Spirit and from godly people. And you know, but anyhow, it's God's support, God's divine ability. You know, and I used to say it, and it would get on one of my sister's nerves, you know. I'd be like, whoop, we're supernatural. We're like E.T. You know, I'd go bleep, bleep, and that would really get on her nerves, you know. And that was when I was young, you know, and I'm just expressing the way I was, you know. But I was being serious, you know. We have God's supernatural ability. We have God's supernatural ability in our workplace, in our marriages. We can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens us. And all things, according to Romans 8, work together for our good. It works together for our good, even if it's evil. You know, and I went around and I'd tell people, you know, and even preached it at church, Satan works for me. They're like, oh my God, I wouldn't have Satan to work around me. But what I meant by that, every time he tries something, I believe God and his working he's working against me, and what he means for bad, God works it to good, so Satan works for me. He works for you. I mean, he's doing you a favor when he attacks you. He's doing you a favor. That's why the Bible says in James chapter 1, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. knowing this, that your faith being tried is working something in your life. It's working endurance. It's working some things in your life, and it's equipping you. Teresa told me the other day, she said, I've made a man out of you. I told her, I said, you ain't no man out of me. I said, Jesus has made a man out of me. You know, I told her, I got beat up by three guys, broke my nose and this and that. I said, when I met you, I was working on how to kill all three of them. So I was getting tough while you were in the making. But what she meant is, we kid around like that sometimes. And we like to have fun a little bit, you know. But what she means is her bad attitudes, I had to stay in the right spirit and it worked good for me. That's not it either. Where I'm weak, she's strong. Right? And where I need a little bit of sometimes instruction, she does. God does it. God does that. Hallelujah. And I have to agree, 40 years of marriage will make a man out of you if you do it God's way. 40 years, 30 years, let me just back up, 5 years of marriage will make a woman out of you if you submit to your husband like as to the Lord. It'll cause, you know, you'll be amazed later at how responsibility develops us. Responsibility helps us grow up in the favor of God. See, we're gaining favor with God and man, just like Jesus, because we're growing stronger spiritually. Because we take the necessary steps at the time that we need to make the right choices, the godly choices, the choices that we've made based on Scripture, that's quality choices, not based on feelings and emotions, in the time that we need it. Sometimes we don't know what we need, and then the Holy Spirit brings it in the situation we're in. Because what we try to figure out and fix, it might not be right. It might cause some things not to happen right. But see, God, He's a master at putting things in order in our life to benefit us. Hallelujah. Praise God. But vision, you know, we need to be believing God. I like what Teresa said to Monty, you know. And if you want, he's a Gibson dude. You know, I'm a Fender dude. I think Fender sounds better, but that's my preference, right? I like Epiphone the less, but he's wanting a diehard, genuine Les Paul, and I've seen him coming up the ladder. I've seen him climbing up after that thing. I mean, that's his thing. I mean, he may have 50 guitars in there. I don't know. He would if it probably left up to him. But you know what? I like what Teresa said. Don't quit believing if you want the best. There's nothing wrong with having good stuff. There's nothing wrong with believing for what your heart desires. You love the Lord, don't you? I'm not talking to Monty. All of us. We love the Lord. We don't want anything that He don't want us to have. But you know, we believe that if we serve God, He gives us desires for these natural things, you know, and we give Him glory for it. We honor Him for it, and we praise Him when He brings it, and praise Him when He blesses us and all of that, you know. And the Bible says if we delight ourselves in the Lord, that means if we go after God and we want what God wants, He said He will give us the desires of our heart. And if we commit our ways, and we do, we love Him, He said He'll bring it to pass. He'll bring that guitar. I remember one time, you know, the Bible says, put that scripture up there, Proverbs, Beth, 18:29, I believe it is. 29:18. Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. The word perish means to draw back, to dry up. I mean, to non-existence is a lot of translations in there. You know, but when I studied this one time for my personal self, you know, I thought, man, I've got to always make sure that I maintain vision in my marriage when my marriage ain't good, right? I got to maintain seeing my marriage is going to get better and better and better, even if it's getting worse and worse and worse, right? Keep vision in it. believing God to be the head, not the tail. And then when somebody cancels the garage doors and I have to pay for them, and don't let that be what stops my vision. Just bless God, go give the garage doors away. Give and it shall be given. I'm telling you what I did personally. You know, got canceled, I didn't need, I was on vacation and all of that, and I'm believing God, and I've done come out and believed to buy a vehicle with no credit, and it happened. I done come up, you know, and believed God to pay it off early, a time or three, and it had happened. And then I'm like, I'm going to the top. I'm going to lend and not borrow. I am the head, and I'm not the tail. I'm above and not beneath. That's what the scripture says. You need to be saying and thinking that over yourself, and don't ever say nothing contrary to it. Why? Because you believe, and therefore as you have believed, therefore you say it. Now, the Christian world can think you're stupid. Your family can think you're ignorant. It don't matter. You say what you believe. The Bible says, out of the heart, the mouth speaks the abundance. Out of what? In my heart. So if I really believe in my heart that I'm going to be the head, not the tail, and lend and not borrow, then I'm not going to say every time something happens, something else happens. When I'm trying to reach them goals, you know, it's just inevitable something else happens. See, I can't go around confessing that and then believe this, Bible. Believe the Bible. Because I'm speaking what I believe. Well, anyhow, the doors were canceled and all that, and I'm like, man, this just ruined my vacation. I come on back, you know, and went down, couldn't reason with the guy, and so I had my guys with me with their impacts, and I said, take the doors out. And you're not really by law supposed to do that. Once you install the doors don't belong to you. If you want them, you take to court. But he didn't know that, and I'm just bold enough right then, I'm not going to court. I'm getting my doors. So I took the doors out, and then I went, and I said, glory to God, I told Satan, I said, you, what you meant for my bad, I'm going to make you pay. And so I found somebody that needed that size of garage doors. I called up, it was actually Bradley. He's building a house. I called him up. I said, hey, man, what size are your garage doors? And he told me what size it was. I said, what color are you going to put in it? He told me, and I said, well, are you going to put openers in it? No, I'm not really going to put openers in it. I said, okay. I said, have you got it ready? Well, yeah, they could go in any time, but I'm not really ready to order them yet. I said, I got two, and I'm giving them to you. I said, I'm going to sew my way out. And so I go, and I install them in his house, praise God. And you know what? That never took me under, praise God, because the Bible says, give, and it shall be given. See, what Satan wanted me to do is Romans 12:21. He wanted me to overcome evil with evil. The Bible says, don't be overcome with evil. Don't let it overtake you. I didn't let my family members overtake me in evil, not really evil, but concerning my mom and stuff. I believed God, and God turned everything to His counsel, to His will in it. And the Bible says that He works all things to the counsel of His will. Now, when we're believing Him, we're giving Him the right to intervene, the favor of God. The favor is God's support. God will support me. God will support me when I put those doors in. Well, you know what? 20 years later, maybe, 18, 20 years later, I am the head, not the tail. I lend all the time, and I do not borrow. I'm telling you right now, that scripture is just as true as Jesus Christ was when He walked on this earth, to the ones that will lay hold, and God quickens it, and will not lose vision, won't lay it down. I've laid down things before. Believe in God and just get tired. Just get tired and just say, oh, well, you know, I really don't have to have that, you know, and blah, blah, blah. And then hear a sermon by somebody say, you know, you can lay your vision down, you got to pick it up. You can pick it back up. I've been to the point to where I'm like, bless God, just get a divorce. Good Lord, if it's going to be this way all the time, I mean, you know, just, and then, you know, later on be like, oh, I can't live without her. Can't live without her. And I thought, I'm not going to say I can't live with her, because I can. and then pick it up again and say, nope, I am not going to quit. Glory to God. What was I doing? Laying down what I believed I could have. And then if you've ever did that, pick it back up. Just pick it up. Hallelujah. And move forward, and God will bring it to pass. Hallelujah. But see, Satan wants us to overcome evil, to give in to the evil and let it overcome us. You know, I brought it to the church in October. Teresa explained a lot of stuff this morning about what's going on in the government, you know, and I praise God for it. You know, I'm excited about what's going on because God's in there. God's involved in it. Well, I brought it in October, and I mean, people were getting all nervous, and I knew the prophecies, plus on the inside, fasting and praying for the government and praying for Biden and them, praying for them, and not being overcome with evil. That'll help you. Pray for people that's trying to use you and all of that stuff, you know, and do things against you and cost you. Pray for them that you don't get in a right. It's for you. It'll keep you in a right spirit, because a right spirit keeps you in the favor of God. It keeps you in God's provision. It keeps you in God's supernatural ability. It keeps you in that flow with the Holy Spirit and with God. Hallelujah. You know, but I brought it, you know, and God said the church had been divided for years, and we know that. I mean, denominations has destroyed a lot of Christians. The denominational garbage. You know, I don't care if you're Methodist, Baptist, and I mean, I've went about, you know, because I was born again in my living room. There wasn't no Baptist there. There wasn't no Methodist there. Church of Christ, whatever name you can name, they was not there. The Holy Spirit came in that day, and Jesus was there in form of the Holy Spirit, and I got born again in my living room. And so what it did for me later, I realized that, you know, that denomination don't save you. A church don't save you. I've never been anti-church, never. I mean, the more you can go to church, the better off you are, I believe. The more services you can catch and revivals, you know, that you can catch and all of that, you know, is good. The more that's better for you. You can just get saturated in the Word all the time, listening to preaching and stuff like that. So I've never been anti-church. I've always fought for people going to church and believed and had vision for myself. Once I seen in there that the Bible says, forsake not the assembling, it gave me vision for my life. It give me vision for my family. It give me direction. See, vision will give you direction. And then faith will get you in there. You know, and which faith comes from the Word of God. Hallelujah. You know, but anyways, today, I mean, I'm standing, you know, I am, and people can call it bragging if they won't. No, the Bible says for me to testify of the things He's done. Tell of the glorious and good things that He's done. And Paul did it. He wrote in there, I was shipwrecked and I went to pick up some wood to build a fire because we was all cold and a viper bit me, right? And he slung it off. They watched him. That's the testimony for us of the glory of God in favor in God's ability and God's supernatural power and ability in the Apostle Paul's life. Jesus had it in his life. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and Peter, and all of them. And they went and they give testimony to the people of Jesus. But Jesus walking on the earth and teaching. They were giving testimony of it. And thousands were saved and thousands were healed and everything else. Well, we're the disciples down here and we give and testify, and I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed of the wealth taught preaching in the Bible. I'm not ashamed to be called the head and not the tail. I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed that somebody can walk in church and I tell them go get the parts they want. Then I walk in there and pay for them. There was a time when I couldn't even pay for a hood that I smashed on a lawnmower. Right? There was a time when I didn't have enough to eat every week. There was a time when I didn't have enough to pay our light bill every month. There was a time when I couldn't buy my son Christmas. But you know what? I still stood on Deuteronomy. I am the head, not the tail. And I would say out of my mouth, I went to with Teresa to the grocery store, and she said, "Here, get this." And I said, "What is it?" "It's a calculator." I said, "We need it?" "Yeah, we need it." So I had to figure up, I had to, box of salt. Well, I mean, I'm going through there, and I felt like a whipped Christian. That's what I felt like. I felt like, man, I can't believe we're having to do this. You know, so I did it, figured up the taxes, huh? I know it. I know you did. That's just one time I went to the grocery store with you. And I looked at her, and I told her, I said, "I'd tell you right now, not many days from now. I said, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth, you will not have a calculator." And I got home, and I helped to unload those groceries, and I went out, and I had a little talk with Satan. I told him, I said, "You know what?" I said, "I've been redeemed from the calculator." I said, "You are not going to do that to my wife ever again." I told him, I said, "You mark it." I used to say this a lot to him. "You mark it in your calendar if you have one, you sucker. If I could get a hold of you right now, I would kill you." But I know that's not possible. He's a spirit man. But you know, you get mad at him. I don't like him at all. I don't feel sorry for him. He's going to hell. And he needs to. He won't repent. He's rebellious. Hallelujah. But anyways, I told the Lord, and then when I got through talking to Satan, telling him that my money cometh to me now is staying, that no weapon formed against me will prosper, and then I told the Lord, I said, "Lord, I receive it right now, Lord. I received John 10:10, that life to the full till it overflows, God. And I'm going to expect it from here out, God, because I'm highly favored of you, Lord, and that is your will in there, praise God." Hallelujah. And you know what? Time went on a little while, praise God, and she don't carry a calculator with her. That's been a long time. Long time. And it ain't because I got a raise. I work for myself. I live by faith. This right here is my promotion. The Bible, that's why the Bible says promotion comes from the Lord. Promotion comes from the Lord. See, we're going to have many adversaries. We're going to have many things that comes in our life to try to distract us off of what we believe to be the will of God. See, we got to walk in the moment. Your situations are not the same as mine. My circumstances might be different than yours. Yours might be different from somebody else's. But all of it don't really matter. The circumstances don't really matter in light of God's Word. God's Word works wherever we apply it. And our faith works and brings in the supply that we need. Hallelujah. Whether it's spiritually, physically, family-wise, I've had family members mad at me, and God say, "Overcome evil with good." And I would have this thought, "Give them $100, man. Just go give them a little money. Man, bust them with $100 and ain't never mad at you again." $100 bought a lifetime of favor. Well, the Bible says Jesus grew, right? Jesus grew in strength and in favor with God and in favor with man. I mean, you got to wonder how that happened. We sang the song, "Your goodness is running after me," and we got to believe that. And in when things happen, you know, praise God. I mean, it's not in our favor. Don't get all discouraged, and don't let your eyes get off of the vision that you had before that. It's just a distraction to try to distract you. Hallelujah. We're living in the divine favor of God. Hallelujah. God's favor opens doors that wouldn't normally open for us. God's favor puts us in places with people that we wouldn't normally be in their presence. Hallelujah. You know, God's favor was on my life, and I've been to the Baptist Association in Atlanta, Georgia. They come down here and got me in a limo, and I'm like, man, they just knew who I was. A Weston down here. Out of 17, if they just knew who I was before, ain't no way they'd spend money to send a limo down here. I thought, but I'm a royal priesthood now. I've got God's favor on my life, and I'm riding in a limousine to Georgia. I thought, whoa, God is extravagant. They could have had a Volkswagen pick me up, something cheaper on gas, man. But God wanted me to know, I'm taking you there in style. And then he takes me up there, and I thought I was going to preach in the church, you know. But no, they wouldn't allow that. They wanted to find out. So they had all the church leaders and elders and deacons and all of that. That's all I was preaching there. And I thought, oh, my God. You know, there ain't no members here. It's all them. You know, and I thought, well, that's even greater. Well, the Bible says your gifts, that's favor, will make room for you. We'll open those doors for you. You know, promotion on your job is not based on your boss. According to this, we're believers. Promotion comes from the Lord. I begin to sow seeds and believe God for increase at my job. In a year, I was making the same thing my brother that had been there for 20 years before me was making. I mean, I got raised up by the Lord in there, and I thought, oh, my God. I went from 222 to 447 a week. I went from 230 to 4. I thought, whoo, now he's closing down. Man, that's not good. Ain't no telling what I could have made. Well, God put me in my own business and put it unlimited. Hallelujah. Praise God. You're worth more than $100 an hour. Told Travis, sometimes he'll do a job and everything, and I'll count it up, and I'll tell him, whoo, you know, you just made about $250 an hour. Y'all quiet. You're worth more than what you're getting paid. But you know, your promotion comes from the Lord, and when the Lord begins to promote you, people take notice. People take notice. People's like, ooh, I need to do something for them. I need to bless them. I need to praise the Lord. All the time they giving Travis and them tips at work. they're just like, man, we need to tip them guys. They get it all the time. They get tips. Why? God's favor. God's favor. Asked that guy one time, I said, you know what the anointing is? He works for us. And he says he don't believe in nothing. You got to believe in something, right? I don't believe in nothing, you know. I asked him, I said, do you know what the anointing is? Because I told him where he worked. I said, you've been a door queen. Now I'm going to make a door king out of you. Praise God. And what my thinking was, you know, if he thinks lowly of himself, I'm going to make him think highly of himself. You know, if he thinks like he'll never be a nobody, when he leaves me, he's going to feel like he's somebody. He's going to feel like he fits in. He's going to feel like, you know, he's worth something. You know, that's what God did to me. Why wouldn't I pass it on? Why wouldn't I spread it on? I mean, God made me feel like I was worth something when I wasn't worth a whole lot of nothing in that living room that morning. Still had marijuana in there and all kind of stuff. I mean, you know, praise the Lord that we'd been into and all of that. He didn't come in. He made me feel like somebody that day. He made me feel like you don't want to commit suicide. To the point I thought, what happened to me? Something happened to me. Well, he made me want to live. Praise God. Well, you know what? That's God's favor on him to be in my presence, to be in Travis's presence. Everybody don't get to ride with me and him. Everybody don't qualify. Right? Hallelujah. Praise God. So I remember whenever we got our house and we believed God 10 years for that house that we're living in right now. And we owed on that house. God supernaturally moved, but we own that house today. I laid hands on the corner of it about every other day, and I would say, you belong to me, not me and Wells Fargo. I owe no man nothing, Romans 8:5, I think it is. I owe no man nothing, so I can't owe on you long. Your history, this debt's history. So I would say it. I'd say, I own you and not Wells Fargo and me own you. Well, today Wells Fargo don't own nothing I got. Wells Fargo, they ain't no bank. I owe no man nothing. But when I was over $135,000 in debt, I started saying that. I started chipping at that debt we did. You know, Teresa started before me. I just wouldn't get on board with her because I wanted to borrow. Man, I mean, that's easy. Just go to the bank. You don't have to give them nothing down. You know, just start making payments. Just get what you want. And I remember a time when I was behind on everything. You know, 2001, there was a short recession. And I didn't even know nothing about it. At that time, we didn't have news and stuff in our house. We'd made a choice we had Sky Angel, and we didn't have no really secular outside news coming in, you know, even pretty much local. And so I'm so caught up in the Bible and ministry and street ministry and jail ministry, and I'm caught up in the things of the Lord, and I'm enjoying it, you know, and everything. And after the recession was over, I was talking to somebody, and they said, "Did that recession hurt your business?" I said, "What recession?" They said, "Didn't we just have? Do we just?" I said, "I didn't even know there was one." Well, I found that in the Bible. You won't even know when heat comes, right? Psalms. Put that Psalms 1 up there, Beth. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of the sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. That blessed right there means, Monty preached this yesterday. He didn't preach this, but he was bringing that up yesterday in a men's meeting. It was good, anointed message. I enjoyed it. But the word blessed right there means prosperous, favored of God, prosperous, happy, joyful. There's a lot in there. If you go look it up, it means your situations, you can be happy. You can be joyful even though you're in tough situations. See, every Christian, if it was real easy, everybody would do it. You know, I mean, some Christians, they praise the Lord when they're not facing nothing. But see, God told me one time, he said, "Son," I was like, "Man, why am I always in a battle? Why am I always in a battle, Lord? There's just a battle going on all the time." And the Lord told me, he said, "I'm showing you myself." He said, "You don't need me on the mountain." He said, "But in the valleys, that's where I would take them down in the valleys in the Old Testament. I would take them in the valley. That's where the battle would take place." He said, "That's where I delivered them into their hands, their enemies, and all of that." He said, "See," he said, "you won't see me on the mountaintop." You know, he said, "But down in the valley, where he said, that's where you're, when you're in the hardships, when you're looking to me, that's when you're going to see me deliver you. That's where you're going to see me bring the anointing that destroys those yokes and lift those burdens. Not necessarily that the trial is going to go away, but the victory on the inside of you will be greater. Greater than the trial." You know, it says, "But his delight is in the law of the Lord." And you know, I can't stress it really enough. I don't really have good enough words to express the depth of the reality to me of the power of God's Word. God's Word has the power to save. God's Word has the power to heal. He sent His Word to heal them. God's Word has the power to deliver. He said He sent His Word and healed and delivered them. God's Word transforms. God's Word has the power to renovate us, to remodel us. I mean, you know, God's Word has faith in it. You know, and that's why the Word of God, I really try to express it a lot here. Christianity without the Word to me would be useless. I mean, how do you know who He is? How do you know what you got? How do you know what to do? How do you know where you're going? Psalmist David said, "Lord, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." He said, "Blessed is the man that delights in that." He said, "He will be like a tree planted by the rivers of water." I can't even read it to you. but he would be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. That man will be like that tree. He's not talking about a tree. He's talking about the man that delights in his word, that his ways. He said that person will be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. He said his leaf will not wither. He said in everything that he does prospers. That's where I got that. I've been saying that for 30 years. And but God, I mean, I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. I can build engines if I need to. Although, I mean, my neighbor down there, he said I was building the bottom part of a diesel. I've never built the bottom part of a diesel, a 5.9 24 valve diesel. You know, and it locked up on me, and I thought, oh man, the devil's trying to rob me. Pray God, man, that truck cost me $15,000, blah, blah, blah. You know, and I got a price on it, it's going to cost me about $8,000 or $9,000 because they want to pull the engine out. You know, and I kind of did some research, and I thought, man, you've got a quarter of an inch to get that oil pan out. I thought, well, a quarter's a quarter. If you got less than a quarter, it won't come out. But if you got a quarter, you got enough room. And so I thought, So I went down there at my neighbor's and I said, hey, I said, you know, man, I said, reckon I could use your rack for, I said, I'm going to build the bottom end of my diesel up there. He said, can you do it? I said, I'm a mechanic. See, Jesus was a carpenter, so I can build houses too. But see, the Bible says you can do all things through Christ, right? Well, he told me, he said, it won't never run. I said, shh. I said, I told you I'm a mechanic. I said, you need me down here. I said, I didn't go to school and college like you did. I'm not certified through that. I said, but you need me. I said, but you can't afford me. Well, I'm getting him to shut up now. Don't tell me it ain't going to run. I'm fixing to build it. Right? So I go and I take it down, and sure enough, it didn't mess the crank or nothing up. And I went and bought the parts, and I come back with $600 worth of parts. Praise God. And I said, God, thank you, Lord, for your anointing. God, thank you for your favor. God, I thank you, Lord, I can do all things. Lord, you will give me wisdom. You will help me to torque everything down right. Lord, you will. I believe for your wisdom. Ain't that what the Bible says for us to do in James over there? For man lack wisdom. See, I could have thought, I've never did this before. I've never did this before, and God, I just can't do it. If you do that right then, you got out of faith. You left faith, and faith is what gives you vision. It's the substance of the things you're hoping for. It is the evidence of that truck back together. And I put that truck back together, but God, I fired that truck up, prayed God, and we drove that truck for probably, I don't know, a long time. And every time I'd see him, it's still running. I said, I told you. I told him, I said, I'm anointed of God to do this kind of stuff. Well, I thought you was a garage door guy. I said, I'm whatever God needs me to be. He's whatever I need him to be when I need him to be it. Yeah. Tractors. I'm talking about believing God. I mean, these are times when I didn't have the money to build it. Right? If I'm going to build it, I'm going to have to borrow the money to do it. You know, and all of that, you know. It's not that I felt like that I could do it, to be honest with you. But I thought, I'm going to walk by faith. This is what faith is. You got to walk by faith. See, you walking by faith is not walking really by faith if everything is going good and you've got everything. Walking by faith is everything is contrary and it's hard, it's challenging, but I'm going to believe what God's word says and I'm going to see the victory. And I did that and I seen the victory. Hallelujah. Just like you ought to believe God for increase. You ought to believe God. God, I'm going to get promotions in 2025. God, I'm going to be making more than I did in 2024, Lord. 2025 is going to pan out. And you know what? You're liable to get your hours cut back right after you start doing it. It wouldn't shock me if you start making less money when you do it. You know, I mean, I've seen people, God speak to people, you know, and tell them I'm going to do this and this and this and this is going to happen. And I mean, them get all fired up and all excited because of the word that came to them that give them vision. You know, and then circumstances just slap it right out. Then they're like, well, maybe it wasn't God. Maybe God didn't really say it. But you were sure to start with that it was God. And now you've let something change your mind. You let something change your confession. You know, I had a big track hoe over there. That I got a price to clean that land off over there, and they wanted $35,000. And that's probably reasonable. They're going to bring dump trucks, and it was just full of stumps and all kind of stuff that Mid Travis bought back 7-8 years ago. And I told him, I said, I appreciate it. Do you thank you for coming out? No, we're good. I said, I don't know. I said, I'm probably not going to do it. I said, I'm just being honest with you. I said, but anyways, I appreciate you coming out. Well, I go to looking. I was like, glory to God, I'm just going to buy a track hoe in the name of Jesus. I'm just going to buy one, God. You said you'd rebuke the devourer for my sake. And I think I'd enjoy driving one anyways. Well, anyhow, make a long story short, run across one down there, down below Oniana, going by, and all I could see was the top of it. And I told Travis, I said, you see that? He was driving. What? I said, that looked like a track hoe. Wouldn't that mean you? Yeah. Well, anyways, well, I said, turn around, go back. I pulled in there, you know, and I went down there, and he said, well, the boss ain't here. I said, that track hoe over there. I said, he won't sell that track hoe over there. He said, you're not going to, yeah, he wants to sell it. He said, he's fixing to go bankrupt. You know, he's going down, he's closing down. Yeah, he wants to sell it, he needs to sell it. And I said, okay. I said, here's my number. I said, let him call me and see what he wants for it. And I done made up my mind, you know. Well, I went and walked around that machine. Now, everything's huge. It looked like it was going to need a lot of work. I asked him, I said, is there any issues with it? No, but all these hoses, they're bad dry rotted and blah, blah, blah. You know, and I walked around the machine. And Bible says, ponder the path of your feet that all your ways be established. And I'm considering, am I willing to work on it? Because I'm not going to pay somebody to work on it because it's going to cost a lot of money. And I thought, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And so then I went and told him. Well, and I made up my mind what I'm giving for it. I didn't know what he going to want for it. Well, he called me up and I thought I'm going to give $6,000 for it. That's all I'm going to give. It's a 55,000-pound track hole, big, huge one, you know. And I ended up, I did give 65, but he ain't called me. Well, he wants, I said, I will not give that. I said, I can tell you right now. I said, you get it running. I said, and I'll come drive it and check it out, and I'll give $6,500 for it. 65? He said, he already told me that's as low as he'll go. I said, well, I'll be down there tomorrow. So anyways, I brought that thing over there, cleaned most of it. Well, it started leaking oil down into to the clutches, you know. And I'm like, oh, man. And the pumps were about this big around each. And it had two big, huge pumps. And I go over there and look at that, and I'm thinking, oh, my God, I shouldn't have bought this. I thought, no, I believe God for this. No, I believe God for this. And then I thought, man, it's going to cost a lot of money to have this fixed, you know. And then that scripture come up, I can do all. I thought, oh, man. I thought, I'll fix it myself. But God, I'll take them pumps out, praise God. I made up my mind, and then I told God, God, I'm believing you to help me and give me wisdom. That's how you do it. I mean, it's not hard. And then God, to put his supernatural ability, favor is his supernatural ability. That means you can do what you normally wouldn't be able to do in him. We think it's just spiritual stuff. No. He puts his spiritual on our natural. And therefore, we can do the supernatural things, praise God. But anyways, I looked everywhere to find a seal. And they couldn't find parts for it. It come from down south and all of that, you know. And I heard the Lord, he said, take that seal down to Terry's. And I thought, ain't no way Terry's going to have his seal, man. And I thought, well, whatever he said, but God. So I took that seal down there and walked in there. And I said, I need this seal. And he said, what's it going? I said, don't ask. Just see if you got that seal. I ain't going to mess them up. Ain't nobody got it. He goes in there and he said, man, I don't know how long that seal's been there. That's the same seal. That's it right there. Ain't no telling how long that's been back there in that parts house. He said, right there it is. I said, praise the Lord Jesus. And they looked at me and I said, man, y'all the only ones on the planet had that. And the Lord told me to bring it down here. Now I'm giving glory to God. Y'all just helped God out here. God wanted that fixed so I can clean that off over there. How many knows He gives you all things how to enjoy, right? Hallelujah. The little $30 seal fixed my problem. Hallelujah. Got back over there and I welded me a big piece on the backhoe I had. I didn't even have to lift all of it. Slid her right back in there, put her back together, run that thing and cleaned that whole thing off. And I had about $8,000 in cleaning that off. Saved me $30,000. He rebukes the devourer for your sake. Give me that Jeremiah 17 and I'm going to close. I didn't even realize the recession was here. But here he says, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord. Blessed is highly favored. We're trusting in him, you know. And whose hope the Lord is, for he shall be as a tree planted by, this same thing he said in Psalms 1, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river and shall not see when heat comes. There it is. The Lord, I read that and he said that's what happened to you in 2001. He said, you're highly favored. You were leaning on me. You were trusting me. See, and he told me one time through over there in Deuteronomy, I was reading about the blessing, and then it goes on down, and he said, and don't forget me when I bless you. Don't forget me. And the Lord was telling me then, I'm going to do what I say in your life here, but just don't leave me. Don't not trust. And then he reminded me of Saul. He told Saul, he said, when you were little, he said, you trusted me. When you needed me, when you didn't have all the money, when you didn't have all the, he didn't say nice cars because they had donkeys. When you had the coals. And you believed me and now you're too big for me now. Now you don't need church anymore. Now you don't need to pray and fast and love your brothers and work and labor in the kingdom anymore. That's what he was telling me. Don't leave. Don't leave your church. Don't abandon when I raise you up. And so I pulled on the lot one time and I'm going to close with it. But he says here, he said, and shall not see when heat cometh, but the leaf shall not, shall be green and shall not be careful in the year of drought. Neither shall cease from yielding fruit, man. I'm talking about, I don't care what the economy does. We can bear fruit. I don't care. I seen it through the pandemic. I mean, I absolutely prospered through the pandemic financially in my business. My business prospered through the pandemic. But I would not turn loose of God's word. When they said that it was going to be, what they call that, essential? I said, I'm essential, Lord. Thank you, Lord, I'm essential. I just got the, you know, if you're essential, you're going. I told the Lord, I said, my business is essential. And ended up it was. They needed their garage door fixed. Praise the Lord. But I believe that was by faith at work. Hallelujah. But you know what? The Lord here, he says, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord. Hallelujah. So I want to encourage you, no matter what you're facing, if you ain't facing nothing, great. That is wonderful, hallelujah. I mean, I face something periodically all the time, but you know what? I throw the violin away that used to say, nobody, if it ain't one thing, it's an. I had to get rid of all these sacred cows that was keeping me from walking in the blessing, keeping me holding God back from what he could really actually do in my life. Somebody told me the other day about Travis, that around Travis, and he had paid somebody to put some metal on his building out there. And I was talking with me, and they said, man, Travis, you've raised him right. You know, he's a good-hearted guy. He's a giver. He's He's wise. He's faithful. His kids and all of that stuff, you know. And I said, well, I said, you know, I said, I knew back yonder that the Bible was true when it said train up a child in the way he should go. Now, he's 4 or 5 years old at that time, you know, and when he's old, he won't depart. I said, I believed that scripture to be true back yonder, so I did it. I said, but it wasn't just taking him to church. I said, I taught him to give. I taught him to be tender-hearted. I taught him, you know, not to be, you know, hard and harsh. Because he's just straightforward kind of guy, you know. I said, but see, I didn't have any of that on my own. I said, I learned them in the Bible. I said, he's just following me. I said, it's his choice. I said, he's following me, praise God. So anyways, I want to encourage you, no matter what's going on, believe for God's favor. Believe for God to work things out for you. Let's bow our heads. Father.